confident.
Great.
What a week.
That's fucking wonderful. Shit.
Shit. What's happening? What's happening?
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Welcome to Game of Modes, the jazz composition podcast. We're here, as always, with one of the 90s foremost young improvisers, driving an absolute trailblazing effort through the East Coast saxophone scene. As always, also joining us from the West Coast, one of the up-and-coming stars of modal guitar playing, Schultzy. Good to see you again. And sorry, Noel, what is it you do?
Eye candy. I'm just eye candy. I just show up.
He's a tambourine.
He doesn't know his inverted seventh from his flat third. Anyway, how you
more
doing?
Cowbell.
What was that, Schultzy?
Said you to throw down with the cowbell.
Oh yeah, yeah. The what is it? The triangle. Bing.
I mean, is there even cowbell? Oh, he's gone. Right, there we are. Bam. Here today, gone tomorrow.
I'm using the shortcuts here, and you know, the E and the D, a little bit confused sometimes.
You get the D confused sometimes.
With the E, yeah.
With the E.
The D and the PP. This is a thing.
I got the heater on in the background, so I'm trying to, like, you know, be courteous and not have that hum.
Yeah.
Heater.
Is it getting cold? Well, I guess it is.
This house is cold. It's not cold generally, just this fucking house is cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, 10 degrees outside, fucking minus 12 in here.
Is it like above a Aboriginal burial ground or something? Like what? Like why exactly is it?
Well, it's in Melbourne, so it could be.
Is that minus 12 centigrade?
No,
I think that was an exaggeration. I think it was a purely exaggeration.
I was going to say, because that's like real cold.
Like that's
like, I wasn't
it's even, like, maybe it's 15 C in here, maybe. It's just, it's
right. Okay.
Maybe.
So it's basically summer.
Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, in London,
it is summer in the UK now. After the 1st of May, you're into summer. Don't let the haters tell you any different. And I believe it is 13 degrees in the sun today. That was the temperature. So
move immediately.
This is why the UK has a shortage of junior doctors then becoming real doctors, because all of them move to Australia and get paid more money and better weather. Well, they get paid in better weather, but there is better weather. And yeah. We have a problem.
So it would appear as though we have no viewers today, because I'm sure one of you all are actually viewing on YouTube. So, hey, there you go.
No, I can, though. We can bump it up.
We've been boring enough to totally make everybody stop coming.
to be fair, we are 10 minutes early to our own podcast. So
10 minutes early?
Five minutes late, 10 minutes early.
Exactly.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. So,
what's up, lads?
What is up?
I missed you guys last week.
Yeah.
It was like a round robin. Like, some people showed up and they left and other people showed up. It was like,
yeah, I had an absolutely cracking last Wednesday as well. I was in a great mood. And then I think the podcast was what took me over the edge to being totally exhausted. And then my Thursday was just like, you know, one of those days where you go into work and you're there all day and you like type and stuff. And then you go home at the end of the day and you're like, the fuck did I do? And you look at your to-do list and nothing on it is done. And you're like, how the fuck did an entire working day get absorbed in what? Like, I didn't even make a note of what I did. Just like nothing happened on Thursday. So yeah, that was
all the time. Like, literally, that's his business though, because like, what the fuck was I dealing with? I dealt with something this morning, but there's two things I needed to do today, which I still haven't done. And it's just like random shit comes up, right? Like you get sidetracked on this fucking thing.
Oh God. Like Apto storage again. What the hell? It's the never ending story. You see that the exchange in the Val conversation. like storage is just very gently going up, even with pruning configured properly. But it's like, it's been pretty much static, hasn't it, from when pruning first kicked in. And it's now creeping up by like a couple of gig a day. And you're like, okay, this is not like a today, tomorrow, next week, next month problem. But it will run out eventually. It will run out eventually, and you know it's time to do some maths, right?
Blow it away and start over.
How much storage you sitting on over there, the future Dr. Frey?
Not loads actually for our mainnet validator because we had to. There was like a diktat, if you like, to we shouldn't use that word.
What?
Let's just imagine that I said there was a we were asked to, and I didn't use a problematic word. Anyway, the word came down from on high that we had to migrate our validators because of spec changes like 6 months ago, something like that. And the only servers that would do the job were by and large AMD Epic 9s and I think Ryzen 7950s did okay, didn't they? But they were a bit more patchy. Like sometimes it depended on the provider. But basically the notice we had from our provider, we couldn't get a massive hard. We basically could either get 8 terabytes or I think maybe 2, maybe even 1 actually on one of the boxes, but we just had to go with what we could get. So I think it's the VFN only has a 1 terabyte drive, and that's the one that's concerning me a little bit.
Fuck it.
Yeah, so we do actually have an agreement because they couldn't provide us with the boxes we wanted. We do have like an agreement in place that we can upgrade the box and just pay the difference, basically, as whatever the change we want becomes available. Because they were like, "Sorry, we can't provide it at this exact moment."
Oh, yeah.
That's fine, but it would involve blowing away the state of the VFN because like if they're like, oh yeah, we're just going to like take out the two terabyte hard drive, whatever is already currently attached to that node. They're not going to like just give a free mounted drive on there. And even if they did actually, the configuration would be complex enough that we'd have to blow it away anyway. From what I understand, we have to provision a new box with the new configuration to take advantage of that. So it means migrating again, which is a bit of a pain in the butt, but not the end of the world.
The VFN migration, who gives a shit? Just set up a new one and it's fine. Turn off the old VFN, you're done, right?
The VFN I'm less worried about.
The validator. Like,
I suppose the point is that as soon as we, because the validator is also on a smaller disk than I would like.
What provider are we talking about here?
OVH.
Yeah.
So the problem was that we had a conversation about geographic locations, and we had drawn one still in Europe, but we quite specifically had to run did we actually have to run a VFN and the VAL in different data centers? I can't remember. Anyway, the outcome of a conversation was we needed to do something quite specific, and they were like, oh yeah, you can absolutely have this config nailed on in like, let's say, Ireland. And it was like, can't run it in Ireland, sorry. What have you got in Poland, Strasbourg, somewhere like that? Obviously Poland and Strasbourg, very different places, so I should remember, but I'd have to look at my billing to remind myself which data center it's in. So that was a bit annoying, but then they were like, ah, it's okay, you can just change it. And we were like, yeah, fine. And then now when you do actually go like, should we change this, you're like, ugh, doing another migration voluntarily is a pain in the butt, but whatever. Yeah.
I've been migrating away from OVH as much as possible.
Me too, actually. I don't have anything there.
You have real beef with OVH, don't you now?
They just kind of got under my nose a couple of times. Their customer service is pretty bad and their billing is shit. And
it's also
like in the you know, blockchain industry, it's pretty saturated now as well.
Correct.
Trying to like just get some diversity out into some other shit. I do have some just like dirt cheap boxes there that I keep around because I got them on special ages ago and they're just cheap. So until those hard drives are like trash,
until they're spent $40 a month, they burn up NVMe drives.
I will give them something. They do use good drives because I've been chewing those things hard for a long time with the IOPS, yeah. And they're still hanging around. So I'll give them credit where credit's due. They do use quality hard drives. But
we had some real problems when we were doing like really heavy load tests with Aptos stuff with some providers, and bizarrely, but OVH were good and Hetzner were good. Hetzner didn't break a sweat. Even at a lower spec, they didn't break a sweat, really.
Yeah.
I a while ago managed to finally get an account with Hetzner after they denied me a business account many times.
Did you have to set up a new company that wasn't Big Balls Blockchain?
No, I just did some other stuff. But I had on, in case they're listening, I don't want to say.
That's such a validator answer. Nah,
it's like, yeah.
Some other stuff.
It's not important.
It doesn't matter.
So, yeah. but man, there you can't go past their auction boxes on the old AX101s. They are exceptional. 100 Australian bucks. And
none of those.
You can abuse the shit out of them.
Yeah, I moved everything to Ryzen 7. It's all 7950s here now.
Ryzen 9? 7950?
Yeah, 7950s. Yeah, Ryzen 9, correct.
Yeah I have so these are all 5950 right. X3D boxes. They got some chop. And you can get them with like
cheap,
two
right?
The auction boxes have 3.8 terabyte hard drives on them as well.
Yeah.
So you can just beat them up with stuff. They're great.
Yeah.
But some of these other providers we've been using are also good. There's one which has a P in the name. Their hard drives don't have much chop. I've been beating those up pretty bad. Mm-hmm. And actually, I've had a problem with one. I was talking to you about this earlier. So I've had a problem with one of those boxes for days. They put two new main boards in it, and then the second main board they put in, the Super Micro one, had a bad NIC in it. And so it's just you can get it working, you can configure it, but then after you configure it, like it'll last about 3 or 4 hours, and then the PCIe will disconnect, and then it's fucked. You have to restart it. So we thought it was a kernel bug.
Yeah,
and then so you know that was Ubuntu 22.04. And then the provider's like, oh, there's probably a kernel bug with that, with the new motherboard. He updated, didn't fix it. I reinstalled the entire operating system and all of the blockchain services that were on that bloody thing. It took me hours. And then on like in the third hour, it stopped working again. So we've got an email trail that's about 40 emails long. And on the last go, it's like, I'm just going to put a, you know, like a external NIC on it.
An actual NIC on it, yeah.
Yeah, that seems to have fixed it. So apparently that brand new board had a dodgy NIC. So
Supermicro's kind of annoying. Good brand, though. I mean, the only thing good about those places, like you and I both use some smaller, relatively smaller providers, right, that have
great racks, service, though. Yeah.
That have racks and good data centers that are well connected, that have smart, knowledgeable people, but they're still small providers, right? So they don't, there's not like 20,000 boxes sitting back there and they just provision another one, right? Like you're in an email thread with them to solve the problem.
Yeah. They're built to order. So,
right. Yeah.
Like when that you order one, that one waits for 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Speaking of waiting 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. But yeah. You guys are ordering like fucking boutique servers. Like you want sourdough on a,
no, not at all. These are all straight. Not at all.
Pretty,
these are like
pretty. Yeah, pretty run.
These are pretty pedestrian. I mean, we have some Epics on order that are not pedestrian, but for the most part, these are like desktop. These are desktop CPUs shoved in like 1U servers with like fast NVMe. Like, there's nothing. They're edge servers. Like, they're meant to be destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, right? I get
boutique. We build ourselves.
Sure, I'm not like. Yeah. Like I get, you know, decentralization and everything, like, you know, and also like risk of large providers and shitty service typically. But like, you know, what is the rationale for using a smaller provider for something that's still basically off the shelf, but they're going to have to build it like a, like you say, a pedestrian spec, And if something goes wrong, you're in an email trail rather than, like, the thing with the big providers is, generally speaking, that stuff works till it absolutely doesn't. If you have a problem, that box is toast. It's gone. Forget about it. It ain't never coming back. You don't need to get an email thread because you know it's dead. Like, if your HETS in a box goes down, that data center just got wiped off the face of the earth by a tactical.
No, not at all. Dude, those boxes go down all the fucking time. That's a cattle. Like, the whole thing is like our server's pets or our server's cattle. Like, at Hetzner, those servers are fucking cattle. Like, they're dealing with thousands of them, and none of them have cases. They're all shoved in a rack somewhere. If something breaks, they rip it out and put another one that looks exactly like it, right? Where at some of these boutiques, like, they don't have that much hardware sitting around, so it's like they're more like pets. Like, they got to go take them, and like, somebody literally goes and puts a nick into a card or into a board. That would never happen at Hetzner, ever. Like, they would never have anything that would be 100% redundant, right? They would just go create another one.
Hetzner's probably just got a button in their dashboard that ejects the server into the trash, and a new one just gets automatically shoved in there.
It's like the Matrix.
That's what I want to do. Ideally,
all the hoses pop off it, and the server gets... It comes down a fuck.
I'm kind of
exactly. When you're released from the Matrix, it's like
that's exactly what it is. It goes in the back. It shoots out the back of the building into a huge trash pile, and there's a big lorry comes up and picks it up.
I mean, if
actually that would be a pretty good analog because they're water cooled at Hetzner, so they probably have the plugs in it. Yeah.
I mean the big brain move is just to just abstract away until you have to worry about the servers. If only somebody would come up with such a service, I anticipate there might be some money.
And then come monthly for your firstborn.
The only thing by us that can't explode is this freaking Aptos validator. Everything else I think we run, every single thing is redundant. Everything.
Disposable, yeah.
They're all disposable and they're all redundant. Like... Except for
maybe the eighth stuff.
Literally the one thing that Harry carries is more TBL than anything else that we run. I'm reliant on two NVMe drives that are working their asses off.
They are working at the moment.
What do you put like
is EPFN just absolutely smashing not only network connectivity, but...
No, I blocked the shit out of fucking connections on that thing.
Yeah, well, we had that thing, didn't we, a little while ago? So the VFN is still doing a lot of writing, but the network connection is way down. So we had a thing a couple of weeks ago where I just noticed, getting a monitoring ping, being like, "Hey, by the way, your network usage is way up." And I was like, "Okay. That seems maybe there's like a load test or something going on that I don't know about it or whatever. Maybe there's a lot of NFT degeneracy going on. Okay, forget about it." So I looked into it. I was like, "Ah, it's probably fine." And it was, I can't remember the numbers. It was big. A lot of traffic. And I posted it. I sent you SERP a message. I was just like, "SERP, like what kind of numbers are you doing?" And it was just like, "Yeah, you're getting totally rinsed there." Obviously did some digging, and there was just like some project was just using our infra for free. And it was like,
oh really?
Yeah. Must've been. Yeah. And it was like time to crack out the block list. Like,
I really limited.
Well, actually the other way around, just set up an allow list with nothing on it and turn it off.
I don't even know who's hitting the VFN. Like I see a lot of 400s, like a lot of like weird.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I just block all that fucking shit.
I was like, if somebody has a legitimate use case, they can come to us and we have an allow list.
Yeah. I still, to be honest, I really don't know how the VFN fits into, like, I understand how it fits in the kind of ecosystem of the circle of validators and like the next ring and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't know who's hitting that RPC and why. So
I think it's because it's, they're publicly identifiable.
Like, correct.
They're very easy to identify. It's literally that teams who don't want to pay for what we would call RPC, but it's actually PFN in Aptos land. I think it's people that can't find a PFN that is open, that's unlimited, and they can easily find a VFN. And because of hysterical raisins, so there were a couple of times in the past, weren't there, where there were specific loads or tests and things done, mainly on testnets and things, but also I think at least once on mainnet, that meant you had to allow connections in from either labs or foundation to the VFN. And so maybe people are just making hay off the fact that a lot of people loosen their network policies and then haven't retightened them. That was the root cause in our case, is that the configuration got loosened at some point last year just for the VFN. And then when the new box was reprovisioned, we didn't use the correct boilerplate. You know, when you have an Ansible repo and you have like four branches and they're all called something like revise network one, my Ansible has been very lazy in terms of Git hygiene. So that's a little bit why.
I commit domain every time.
You know what? Well, look, okay, for software development, I'm with you on that. Trunk-based development is the way forward. Trunk development, master race. 100% with you. Another problematic statement. That's two today. Good one, Frey.
Hey, before you go off on a tangent for an hour, I just wanted to say, you guys are on your Aptos infrastructure using RAID 1.
I do, yeah.
Is that MDMA?
MDMA? Yeah. It's MD. It's MD, but if you're thinking it's controlled MDMA. By MD admin, NVADM, is that what you're trying to get to?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Have you guys considered like using something else? Because, you know, it's like you can get Bitrot on MD, right?
You can't. Not very good. Yeah. I don't know if it's not very good. I don't know if that's a 100% true statement. We have used LLVM only on specific things where we've had to do like mirrors on that, because you can do either way if you wanted to. Because LLVM also supports mirrors. We could do ZFS mirrors if we wanted to. That would be fine too. I think it's fast enough. There's not really that much traffic right
now. Well, you're not getting in RAID 1, you're not getting any performance advantage anyway. You should just use ZFS. Nope.
Well, there's still a little overhead there, and you have all that. I mean,
you lose about 20% of capacity, but you're not really going to sacrifice any drive speed. You'll actually increase your read speed. I would just get bigger drives and use ZFS. Like, it's going to be way better for you.
Yeah, but this kind of drive level optimization ignores the fact that the slowest part of the stack is the state machine or the network, depending on what's currently happening at that point in time, right? So you can optimize the disk and the drive and everything as much as you like, but if you're doing 18,000 transactions a second using a cryptographic hash function based state machine consensus stack, like you're approaching physical limits on both network and the cryptography. That's the limit. It's not like how fast you can write to disk, because you know
I'm just saying there's probably better options for your storage, because if you're saying you're butting up against a storage problem now, right, you're running RAID 1, you can't add to it. If you were running ZFS, you could just add another Stripe mirror right next to it and you're good for another year without having to rebuild your thing that you're complaining about.
Very true. Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, to be honest, like you could state sync those boxes in like minutes, so it's really not that big of a deal. I mean, you get pulled out of consensus.
Sounded like a big deal.
Since
we've been talking about for 9 episodes, yeah, I would agree with you that it does sound like a big deal, but I don't think it's.
I've heard about this storage problem a lot.
It's just been different storage.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, episode 32. Where we're going to talk about.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's actually that like egregious a problem to state sync, like Serp was saying, but it's more that like the way the incentive model works in Aptos is that you're pretty reasonable. You're penalized strongly for being down, number one. In terms of just like you're penalized every second you're down, albeit a small amount. Yeah. And the second thing is that crucially is that it's very visible when you're down, and it's very visible to the delegator, and you just don't want to be. Like it's like anything else. if somebody if you've got a nominal 3-9s contract, that's 8 hours of downtime in the year, right? Even if state sync is quick, you're likely to get kicked from consensus, which means a 10-minute cooldown at a minimum. So now you're talking like, by the time you've done your fiddling, that's an hour, you know, it adds up. You don't want to do it too often, would be the review.
Imagine if you had this little bit of ZFS, just stick another mirrored stripe right next to it, you're good to go, baby.
Sure, but the time it would take to get all that shit set up would be the time I need to read the at least 20 papers on my desk that I'm currently need to get through. So
literally two commands. You come see Uncle Null, I'll get you sorted.
Well, you got to wake up. Yeah. You got to have somebody stick them in there, but yeah.
Yeah. A bit more than that. But also it has to be on a, you got to configure on a brand new box, right? So at this point we're stuffed.
Yeah, actually, I was just looking at rewards performance on Aptos because you were talking about rewards performance. And for some reason, we're not at 100%, and I'm really kind of fucking annoyed about that. We're at 99.98. Schulte, you're at 99.96. Is Artifacts, it? 99.92. Pulkachu, 99.96.
It's all time, right?
No, this is just in the last – this is in – I think they do it based off the last X number of epics, I think.
Did you have a bad peer at some point? Because there were, we noticed some.
There was some bitching recently. Yeah, I did see that. Actually, all these numbers are actually pretty shit, except for Stakely, who we work with, which is still at 100%, or Staking Cabin, I guess. Yeah, it's weird. That's weird. Actually, these numbers are not great. I wonder why. I wonder if that's. I haven't seen any failures or anything, so I'm not sure why that is.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on how far back it goes. It looked like there were some peering issues maybe like at some point, but inbound not. Do I mean inbound, not outbound? I think I mean inbound, not outbound. Like the problem was at their end, that one.
All right. So I'm putting a three-episode ban on talking about disk-related issues associated with Aptos.
Okay.
Fucking three episodes.
Have you seen the film? Have you seen the film The Creator?
No.
It's quite good. You should watch it. It's by, I want to say his name's Gareth Edwards. He's the guy that did that, what's it called? Monsters, name of the film.
Good soundtrack on that film.
And which was apparently made, I didn't realize this because it looks pretty good, but you know that film was made for like $0. Like they literally went on a road trip and made that film, like did the filming. And I think he did all the effects himself.
With like hand puppets and shit?
Well, I guess so. I mean, CG, but yeah.
That's John, who wrote that? That's a great soundtrack. That's, fucking hell, I'm thinking about John Hopkins, right? John Hopkins wrote that.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think he wrote the soundtrack for Monsters.
Okay, I mean that.
I'm a big John Hopkins. Is a great, that guy's awesome.
You are correct.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Do you know Max Cooper?
No. Is that like his butler or something?
Like, hot take, Max Cooper is the best of John Hopkins. But if you're into John Hopkins, you're almost certainly like Max Cooper. Check out a track from, the album's a few years old now, actually, but he's got some new stuff out. You should check out. It's really good as well. But like, check out some like if I just wanted to give you like one track to be like guaranteed, just stone cold killer track, you're gonna be like, fuck yeah, let's go. Perpetual Motion by Max Cooper, absolute banger.
Yeah,
rager. Yeah, like absolute rager.
Some of those are like Hopkins. Like I think he was my intro to like that whole genre. I think it was Opalescent. Is that what that album's called? I forget what that one he did like back in the late. Early 2000s or something. I think it was Opalescent. Yeah, and that like opened my eyes to like a ton of shit.
Like, yeah, I mean, John Hopkins is very good. I'm a big facetious. He's very good. I'm just a big fan of like John Hopkins. I kind of went Max, well, some of the other things, and then like Max Cooper and then John Hopkins, I guess, as an influence. So going back the other way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of like, yeah, I like John Hopkins and yeah, it's good.
Let's see, Hopkins born in 79.
Budget was 500K for Monsters. And I guess that's on the watch list today now.
Mm-hmm. I remember that movie being pretty good, actually. Or? It wasn't bad, right? I thought it was pretty decent. Yeah, good. Kind of cheesy at the end.
Yeah, I mean, the you know, like it was made out of suit, shoestring. And then his next film was Rogue One, I think.
Rogue One.
Yeah, yeah. Like, pretty big.
The Star Wars movie?
Yeah, pretty big jump up, yeah. I think it literally
Holy
did.
Shit.
I feel like I've not imagined that. It's like monsters than Rogue One.
Like, that seems like a pretty big jump.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know if it's up, though. I think it's probably...
Rogue One's pretty... No, Rogue One was pretty decent movie.
Nah, it's fucking shit.
No.
Oh, Godzilla. He did fucking Godzilla.
Better than the 789, right?
Better than Solo.
Talking about Star Wars Rogue One?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Unquestionably better than 789 for sure.
What is there another Rogue One?
No, Rogue One. That's the one I'm talking about. Yeah. Whoa.
I just thought there might have been some kind of niche indie fucking weird shit you were talking about.
Other than the weird casino sequence, 8 was great. What the fuck are you talking about?
I couldn't even tell you what the fuck 8 was.
8 was the one where it had the bombing scene where it's like the Memphis Belle.
Is that Jar Jar?
It's got the straight reference to like the Memphis Belle, and it has the final fight where it's like in the throne room, and it's like a direct reference to Akira Kurosawa. It's like the whole Ran thing. And then there's the bit on the planet with the red, you know, the white salt, and then the red underneath.
No, you need to stand down. You need to stand down. Here's the thing.
Schulze has it unmuted for 3 episodes. As soon as we start shitting on Star Wars movies, he's like, hold the fucking phone.
You know, I only ever watched 4, 5, and 6 on replay.
I'm defending 8. And
you bitches shut up.
Down.
As an individual movie, 8 is like fine. Like, there's absolutely parts you can enjoy about it. As a portion of a trilogy, or as a portion of Star Wars in general, it's filthy. Absolutely filthy.
Which one is 8? Oh, that's Last Jedi.
Yeah. That's the one where basically the entire thing is like 2 ships are slowly trailing each other through space for like 3.5 hours. And they're like, well, we can't speed up because we can't speed up. So we just got to keep going real slow right behind them.
Is that the one where Luke like lives on the top of a mountain that nobody could possibly live on?
I mean, it is Star Wars. It's not hard sci-fi.
Lives on a rock.
Perhaps I suspend more disbelief when I watch Star Wars. I'm just like, for reasons, that ship can't go any faster. For the same reasons that literally X-Wings fight in space like dogfighting. What the fuck? That's not how physics works.
Well, so that's fine though, right? That's what I'm saying, like, as an individual movie, 8 is like fine and kind of enjoyable. It just, the fact that it goes so deep into like trying to be edgy and like unreliable, that just kills me. Like, okay, what's his name? The former Star Trooper guy who was supposed to be force sensitive, right? In 8, they decided to just get rid of all of that. Absolutely not. Super dumb. Don't accept it. It's right out.
Oh, Finn. Yeah, I mean, John Boyega got done incredibly dirty. In fact, in those films in general, I genuinely thought that what was going to happen, I genuinely thought that Finn was going to turn out to be the Jedi in the end. Rey would maybe turn to the dark side. But I just had a really strong chemistry vibe between Poe Dameron, Oscar Isaacs? All right, and John Boyega, and I was just like, is it gonna be like a bromance, or is it gonna be
a bromance?
Is it gonna be a Brokeback Mountain man's whatever? Anyway,
That's the point, right? The point is, yes, the point is, in 7 they did a really good job setting up a bunch of things that they could have gone like full throttle on, and then 8 with the new director, I can't remember who the director is, which I'm ashamed of, was like, nah, guys, I've got this great idea. Let's ignore all of that. That's why I don't like 8.
So 7 was...
Isn't Last Jedi the guy that did the amazing film, Moon? Isn't it the same guy?
Well, 7 was J.J. Abrams, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
7 was J.J. Abrams, yeah. So was 9.
So was 9. So who did 8? Like,
yeah, Rian Johnson. He's the guy that did Moon, isn't he?
Oh, is it?
Oh, no, fuck. He's the guy that did Brick. That is a fucking film.
The fuck is Brick?
That is a fucking film. Oh my god!
Really?
Amazing film. Have you not seen Brick?
It does not sound familiar.
Jesus
no.
fucking. Okay, so basically, it's like it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. It's like an American high school in I guess it must be West Coast because the weather looks good. And it's basically it has all of the stylistic kind of trope, the stuff you recognize from like the trope of like film noir and like, especially like, you know, the Raymond Chandler novels, stuff like that, Big Sleep and all that. But it's basically just like, there's been a murder at the school and he's a fucking loner and he's going to figure out what happened. It's just it's just one of those really good slow burn, like dark. Yeah. I mean, like it's just a film noir, but it's just like happens to be this like teenage kid just like trying to work out what the fuck happened to this person at school. It's a absolutely cracking film. Really?
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Really?
Yeah. It's really good. He just like his character is like, he's an outsider and he's punchable. But he's just will walk up to people and he's just like, I'm going to just ask you a question. And then they punch him in the face. And he's like,
what's that?
Well, okay.
What's that Jeff Ross joke? Joseph Gordon-Levitt, the three most boring words behind gluten-free cracker. Is that guy, what movie is he? I can't think of a single movie that he's made that I can.
Spider-Man?
That is.
Is
huh?
that the guy? Is that the Spider-Man guy? No.
No, I don't think he was Spider-Man.
Third Rock from the Sun. I enjoyed him in that.
That's right. He was.
He was also in.
It was pretty.
What's that one? And he was also in Inception.
Yes. And what's the one with Bruce Willis too? He was in Glass Onion. That's right.
Oh, he was also in Looper, the one with
Bruce Looper. Willis. That's the one.
Which is all right, that one's not bad. That's also Rian Johnson.
What Looper is?
Yeah, the guy who did Brick. Okay. Yeah. Looper was his second film, I think.
Who also did Episode 8? Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
So it's been a rocky road. Correct. Is what you're saying?
Yeah, but he's like he has some good films, right? I would say Brick, Looper, Star Wars. He has some dodgy ones, like Knives Out.
Giving me shit about shitting on Joseph JGL. Look at the JGL defenders.
Yeah, I'm now on JGL's filmography because there's got to be.
Can we leave? I just want to leave this
Beethoven.
Up. I want to leave this up for this Rama quote for all future episodes.
Oh, of course, he was in 10 Things I Hate About You.
Oh, man.
He was in The Dark Knight. I don't think I realized that. He was in The Dark Knight.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
I was about to say, oh, yeah, he was in Brick. And then I realized that's literally what I've just been shilling.
That's what we've been talking about, yeah. He's a good actor. He is a good actor. I don't have to like him.
He's been in some good actor films as well, though, mind you. There's some Premium Rush. Have you seen fucking Premium Rush? It's amazing. It's the whole concept of the film is it's like it's just a fixed gear courier in Manhattan. But
I have seen that.
Yeah, it's super cool because they actually did a lot of it as practical stunts. So it genuinely is like really quite intense because you're like, fucking hell, this looks dangerous. And it's like, yeah, it's because it is.
Hard pass.
I thought that was in Chicago, not Manhattan.
Maybe it is Chicago, actually. That would totally
it's not. Happen. I've just checked. It is Manhattan.
Oh, it's set in where was it filmed? Oh no, it was filmed in New York City.
Gordon
Levitt was injured during filming when he rode into the back of a taxi on a fixed gear. Oh dear.
If you all had to pick a Star Wars, which one would it be?
Empire.
Star Wars that you like, or what? Just Star Wars. If you had to pick a Star
your
Wars,
best, the best one. Which one? What's the favorite?
Fucking Empire.
Yeah, of course.
I really enjoyed The Mandalorian. I would go with The Mandalorian.
Boomer
TV
series,
TV show, or the movie?
Is there a Mandalorian
cartoon
movie?
I think there's a cartoon movie.
TV show then, and really only the first two seasons. The third season was pretty weak.
Phantom Menace.
What?
Oh, really?
Of course not.
There's something about like The Empire Strikes Back was when I was in like primary school, I think, and I used to go like to this department. Well, maybe
you were younger than that. I think I was in primary school when that happened.
I used to catch the bus. Like, well, there's a bus stop in the middle of our bus routes, and we used to always go into what was the Maya then my hometown.
Human memory is so fucking awesome. Because like you like relate this Empire Strikes Back to I was on this bus and I know exactly when that bus was.
Well, they in this Maya, right? They had this console set up, you know, back I don't know what fucking console, some sort of PlayStation situation probably. Uh-huh. And like that's what we'd do in between the buses, we had half an hour, would rip into Meyer and then just go and stand there and play at this console. And they had the Empire Strikes. But you know that the part where the AT-ATs are wandering around in the snow.
Uh-huh.
In the game you have to go and rope their feet and shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I so remember. Yeah, man, it's just I remember that so hard. It was just a feeling I got. It's great. I love that movie and I love that game. It's good.
Yep.
Yeah, to be fair, that sequence at the beginning of Empire is really good. The rest of the film is like, eh.
No, not at all.
I learned some good life lessons too. Like if I ever find myself out in the cold, I'm just going to cut open a camel and sleep in it.
You got to fight a kangaroo to the death and just fucking cut it open.
I think the problem is that like actually the prequels,
come on, motherfucker.
The third one of the prequels is probably the best one of the prequels, which is a low bar, granted. But it's maybe the most interesting out of those three. But for the other two series, Return of the Jedi is the weakest of that trilogy. And obviously, I literally can't even remember what it's called. Rise of Skywalker was just a fucking waste of time. Like,
I don't think Return was the weakest. Return of the Jedi. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
Jedi was the weakest. Rise of Skywalker was the weakest. But in the prequels, they were also bad. But the third one was probably the best because it had the most killing. And it had that hilarious scene where he's like, I have the high ground, Anakin.
Yeah,
and it fucking slices him in two, just murks him good. Ah, crack.
That was just for
the memes.
That was poor staffing, I think. I don't know if I would have picked either
of those. The Execute Order 66, yeah, the third one of the prequels is definitely the best one. It's got all the meme moments where you just see all the fucking Jedi's getting absolutely murked. And Samuel L. Jackson.
The third one of the prequels. Do you mean number three?
Yeah. He does. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Just keeps saying it a week.
I like Ewan McGregor. I just don't know if I would have picked him for early Jedi or for early Obi-Wan. I don't know.
I mean, those films just shouldn't have been made.
That's what it is. I think Lucas was just like, it's amazing when he actually gave up the reins because I think look back and said, like, you shouldn't be in this situation of doing that, but he should have gave up those reins way earlier than that. Cause that whole thing with like, if you ever watched like the making of those, oh my God, it's embarrassing.
It's like, well, yeah, that's the good bit. In the original trilogy, the reason why it works so well is because I guess like his wife had a very strong, like, no, we're not doing that type of thing. And then I think they got divorced. And for the prequels, he had like no one to rein him in. And he was just like, here we go.
It's amazing. Like how human those things are, right? Like huge, massive thing, and like all these people, and like $4 billion movie structure, and this like just somebody's like his wife comes in and be like, that's fucking dumb. Who has the balls to tell the little George Lucas dude like Jar Jar should not walk like this, and he looks like a fucking idiot, and he talks like a fucking idiot. Like this should not
absolute
happen.
Idiot.
This should not happen. Like nobody has the nuts to actually go be like George is a fucking disaster.
You fuck it up.
But his wife is like, his wife gets home and is like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly.
I love it.
Did you know the Sith? What's the fucking the meme where it
Darth Maul?
Another.
Did you know they talk about there's another Sith? The whole point is they're waiting for the other Sith to be revealed, and like there was the internet joke that it was actually Jar Jar because he consistently advances the plot by working for the bad guys but looking all clumsy. And it was like the Darth Jar Jar meme. That was the best thing about the prequels, actually, was the Darth.
I really enjoyed that fan theory.
I think that the prequels would have been a completely different fucking like vibe. I reckon you would have loved them if Samuel Jackson was Obi-Wan and it was in the style of Training Day.
If this was a completely different movie, you would have loved it.
Yeah, had a different world, different setting, different characters, different writer, director.
Same movie.
I mean, what I really mean is Shaft was the Shaft reboot was quite good and I enjoyed it, but wouldn't it have been great if the prequels were also good? That's basically what you just said.
Shaft 2000.
What? You don't think the original?
Was there two remakes of Shaft? Okay, He locked up.
And he's gone.
Got to reboot him. What the hell happened?
So outrageous.
Just reboot yourself.
What happens when you use a boot terminal,
not one of those cloud provision nulls. If we used a cloud provision virtualized null, he'd stay up. We'd get like five nines of uptime. Instead, we're using this boutique null provider. And, you know, he just keeps disappearing from the stream. This is what happens. They're just going to keep replugging in, you know, poking it with a broom or whatever it is they do down in that data center.
I don't understand. Are you saying that you didn't like the original Shaft? Is that...
No. I'm just saying that you just said a film with Samuel L. Jackson where he just goes it around and... Because obviously Training Day is Denzel Washington, right? You just said... said like a film like Training Day where, like, I assume what you mean is Samuel L. Jackson goes around and kicks people in the ass, which is Shaft, which was sort of contemporary to the prequels. What you're saying is you prefer Shaft reboot to the prequels.
I'm saying like the style of the training, you know, because like, you know, the Jedi training with Ewan McGregor is like, hey, fucking, yeah. You know, if it was a Shaft situation, or not a Shaft, Samuel Jackson situation.
You.
I mean, like, you know, lots more motherfuckers, and you might have had some good one-liners like snakes.
So in the chat, in the chat, Funky has said Darth Maul was a badass at least. Darth Maul was British comedian Peter Serafinovich.
He was a Nancy.
He's what?
I thought he might have had a mental disorder. Like,
have you? Okay, so if you whatever you think of Darth Maul, look up Peter Serafinovich if you haven't, because I would imagine that his humor has not made it to America, but he's a reasonably
sure he has.
Really? Okay.
Well, yeah.
So you know, like like all the stuff he did in the 2000s.
And he Brian hosts Buster a show Hill. Too, doesn't he? Like some sort of show.
Yeah. Well, Peter Serafinovich show.
Yeah. Oh, is that what it's called? No.
Yeah, we did like Brian Butterfield, the Butterfield Diet.
So did he play?
This says Ray Park plays Darth Maul.
What?
Maybe it changed over the. Well,
that Ray Park. Maybe plays
he just.
Darth Maul.
Maybe he just voiced.
I'm baby's wrong.
Oh, maybe I'm totally wrong. I thought that it was Peter Serafinovich, but I could be wrong.
Unrelated. It just wasn't. Can you guess what the Shaft catchphrase is from the original? Shaft's his name. Shafts his game. That's it.
Oh, that was like the movie subtitle.
Yeah.
Yeesh. That was what 70, like early 70s, right? 71, 72.
Pretty fucking bad. Yeah,
so, 71. So Schultz, he's right. There was an actor who, just like Darth Vader in the originals, there's an actor who played Darth Maul, and then he was voiced by Peter Serafinovich, but Peter Serafinovich wasn't in the movie. So okay. I didn't know that. I thought he both was stomping around. Which is kind of like, that's kind of spoiled that movie in some ways. Cause like I used to just find it very funny. It's just like, it's Peter Serafinovich in a big cape. That's enjoyable. But now I know it's just some guy who's good at stunts. It's not like a middle-aged British comedian in a big coat.
Yeah.
which is a really funny mental image, right? You know, he just looks like a normal guy. So you're just like, is that Peter Serafinovich? But no. So
it's not a good Star Wars character. It doesn't invoke like the hate, you know what I mean? You kind of like want to root for the guy, which is not really a good trait.
The thing to be said for Phantom Menace actually is it does have the best soundtrack out of the originals, not the originals, the prequels, because it has Jewel of the Fates, right? Which is the best of all possibly the best Star Wars theme, full stop, actually, is Jewel of the Fates.
No clue.
I would agree with that.
It's the climax music for the fight at the end of Phantom Menace.
But not of the John. Of all the John Williams Star Wars soundtracks.
Yeah, like so. Like let's just exclude the main theme. But I think
there's only the best by far John Williams piece of music is the asteroid theme in Empire, 100%. More than Asteroid. Any other piece.
More than Luke's theme. More than Jewel of the Fate.
More than the main theme. More than the ending theme. The actual... It's not even a question. Like, the asteroid thing, when Han lands the asteroid into the mouth on that thing, when they actually go through there and then, like, they have to go... They go into the asteroid field and all that thing. that piece of music, by far more than any other Star Wars piece of music, is 100% the best. 100%. I'll link it in the show notes. It look, is.
Look.
It is by far what, you were saying more Luke than anything Luke, else.
I would.
Dude, not even close. Like, it is. I don't even know how you guys do. Like, I'm shocked.
Not even the triumphal music at the end of New Hope.
No, it's not even close. Not with 3PO sitting up there in his suit and all that shit. None of that shit. Like, the asteroid field theme, by far, 100% the best piece of Star Wars music ever written. And actually, I think John Williams' best piece of Star Wars music, maybe best. Wait, let me rephrase that. The best piece of John Williams' music ever written is that theme. That theme is unbelievable. It's only like 3 minutes long, too. It's like incredible. I'll put it in 100%. Like, I mean, it's amazing.
Okay, but we can all agree that the pause music for GoldenEye on the N64 is still the hardest soundtrack of all time, right?
Yeah. I mean, good. Anything break down to 16-bit, yeah, of course.
It's all about that. That noise, that sound, anybody who grew up in the 90s, you can literally play it, that kind of weird reverb gong sound from the GoldenEye soundtrack, and people's heads turn.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, if you a fun trick, if anybody here does get the chance to ever do this, if you do sound at a small gig, something like that, and you get to play music before the bands or between the bands, make sure you have a tiny little sample of that loaded on the MP3 player. Just make sure it's in the shuffle rotation so it comes up at some point. And you will see a bunch of people standing around waiting to see whatever kind of music it is. It's some metal band, right? Standing around with their beers. And then there'll just be a moment where they think that reality just glitched and they will do this. And then they go back to their beer and they're not sure what just happened. It's amazing. And yes, I did used to do that. In fact, I sampled it quite a bit. It's really there are a number of them. I'm really interested in how that soundtrack was made, actually. But let's not even get into it. But it's a really cool sample, whatever it is. I assume it's a gong of some kind.
It's a gong. That one in the original Nintendo Hockey soundtrack. Nintendo Hockey on the original Nintendo, when you actually made somebody bleed, that noise, I can hear that noise and know exactly where it comes from.
I would say one of the bigger discrepancies between like a bad movie and a great soundtrack is Braveheart. The Braveheart soundtrack like goes really hard, in my opinion, but the movie itself just falls flat.
Goodness, really?
What?
Does nobody know what the Braveheart soundtrack yeah, is?
I'm literally trying to picture it, and I'm not like,
questioning the soundtrack. I'm questioning the Braveheart. Great movie.
A fucking great movie.
Braveheart bullshit.
It's like pretty okay, but that's as much as okay.
Like, I mean,
it's the soundtrack. The so good.
The memes are funny about Braveheart.
Excuse me. Sorry. Really not. Sorry. Not Braveheart. Dragonheart. I meant Dragonheart.
Oh, shit. What the fuck?
Why did you fucking
We were definitely not on the same page.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
What's the one with Sean Connery?
So
with the
fucking to that Braveheart thing that I've accidentally locked the back of my chair, and you know, like you know when you accidentally lock your chair to board rigid, like if you lean back, it punches you in the back of the head, and now I can't. I fucked.
You're up. Like, wait, I didn't mean Goodfellas. I meant Weekend at Bernie's. My bad. Yeah. I totally fucked it up.
What's the Sean Connery movie with the where he goes fucking back and forward in time, or he is from the past?
Highlander,
yeah, man, yeah, fucking, yeah. That's got a hard soundtrack.
The best thing about
Spanish
Highlander,
with the Scottish accent,
the bit where they're in the boat and the main guy who's Dutch or whatever is trying to do a Scottish accent and sounds like Spanish. And then Sean Connery, who's supposed to be Spanish, is just like, yes, well, I was a Spaniard. And you're just like, could you guys just so switch? Just switch, because Dutch guy, you sound Spanish. Sean, you sound like Sean.
It's fine. Close enough.
Such a good fucking movie. Wow, good series.
It's a good
movie. Oh, man. All right, so what? We have any homework for movie watching? What did we say? Oh, you said The Brick, right? Brick?
Brick is great.
So I got to watch that. I'm going to be disappointed. I already know I'm going to be disappointed.
We've been talking like 30 minutes now about the various things that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has been in or whatever the fuck. The point I was going to say was I was going to recommend the film The Creator, which is by, it's not by Rian Johnson, it's by Gareth Edwards. It's got thingy from Tenet in it.
The thingy from Tenet?
No, the actor, obviously.
The main actor?
David Washington. John David Washington. There you go.
John, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is in it. And it's pretty good.
He's in The Creator?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's quite woolly. It's quite woolly. There are some bits of it. Like there's specifically one bit, right, where there's like a space station and a satellite watching what's going on. And some people get into a boat and sail off. And then everyone's like, where did they go? And it's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe just like use the thing that was following them from space to figure out where they went. There are a few bits like that where they just needed to advance the plot. And you could tell that they maybe didn't have the budget or time to fucking figure it out, basically. There are some bits where it definitely feels like they were on a schedule. And they've done an incredibly good job with what they had access to.
That's good enough. Yeah.
But there's a couple of things where you're just like, that doesn't fully make sense, but I'm going to go with it in the interest of, but it, you know, for the most part, it's actually a pretty good film. It has some, the graphics and everything in it are absolutely incredible. The world building is really impressive.
All right. So The Creator of Brick, what am I watching this week? Just cut down to it.
We created sci-fi.
Just tell me.
Space stations and shit.
Decision.
Brick's
Monsters
the better
and Brick for me.
Brick's right. The better film. Brick is
good. I watched a Brick. Right. It's fucking hell.
Yeah.
We're 113 episodes in. We got a long ways to go. Like, it's fine. I can watch the next one next week. All right, Brick. That's our homework.
So, moving on. did you see this shit with Roaring Kitty? He's been...
GameStop again?
Yeah, he's been touted as the internet Warren Buffett.
that's something.
I think. What do you think the chances are that the SEC picked this guy up for insider trading?
He's not. He's an influencing, but it's not insider, right? Isn't he? Doesn't know anything. He's just influencing horrible decisions.
If you influence the market and you buy shit before you do it and then you dump it, I'm pretty sure it's still insider trading.
Yeah, but he already did that one time, right?
But he's not an officer, sell? So...
Did he sell?
This isn't the original GameStop guy, is it?
Well, if it's Roaring Kitty, it is, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why Roaring Kitty is an important cultural thing.
Well...
Mel's just like, wait a minute. Are you telling me GameStop will happen because of Roaring Kitty? I mean, essentially, yes, Noel. That is what we're saying.
I thought the guy's name was different, but anyway... So, yeah, I mean, GameStop actually, on his memes.
It did yesterday. It was up like, I think, 70% yesterday or something. It dumped from, well, let's see, May 13th, it jumped from $17 to a peak of $64 over 24 hours. And then today, I know it dumped a bunch because I was watching it. I'm not an investor in GameStop. I saw it dumping back down to like $30, so it dropped like 50% over the course of another 24 hours. And right now, it's actually working its way back up to 39 because everybody's telling their relatives to buy the shit to bail out.
Yeah, is this just lazy investing? Like, I feel like it's just trying to jump on a pump.
Is he back?
Yeah. Rather than
he doesn't look like he's back.
He made a message on like Monday to cause the craze.
Yeah,
okay. On the 13th. That would be since then.
No, I don't think so either.
Because it doesn't look like he's posted shit. There's nothing on his Twitter either. Is there?
It said the thing I read said he hadn't posted in like 3 years.
Yeah, 18th of Feb 2021 is the last post.
But he does have like 1.2 million subscribers on.
Yeah, but he's not. So when we say, is he back? Is that just that he's reactivated his Twitter account from being inactive?
I don't think go ahead.
I was just going to say, the only thing he's back for is I think he created some content around GameStop and then that was it.
Well, there's no content here on his Twitter account. There's no content on his YouTube account.
Well, he mainly posted on Reddit, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, it's all Reddit. Yep. So it's down, what is it today? Down 8% after hours. Last 24 hours is down 20% today. So it opened this morning at around $40, I think.
Well, yesterday they stopped trading 16 times.
Oh, they did.
Yeah. Yeah, halted trading.
Fucking stop, D-gens. Something that doesn't happen in crypto, right? It's
because permissionless, you can keep degeneration going on.
You could fucking just keep shelling shit in there. It's fine, 24/7, baby.
Shit in there 24/7, and don't worry. There's absolutely no way that institutions
training wheels are off.
Advantage of that off. Yeah, I mean, all that's going to happen is that any kind of vestige of the idea that it's an even playing field is going to vanish as soon as the institutions work out. Wait a minute, we can just like rug people, and it's. And there's probably zero consequences.
It's all good. Boys will be boys.
Dog
with hat will never die.
People will just like get completely owned and then just be like, oh, well, I guess I deserved it because everybody is like a bootlicker in crypto.
This dog with hat has been a fucking roller coaster.
What's happening now?
But I buy it like 5 episodes ago. It's like and down and up and down.
Are you holding? You're holding?
Yeah, fucking diamond fisting that shit.
So are you down then? I assume.
You're looking at a future millionaire. I am down too far to sell.
That's what it's called. That's diamond fisting.
That's how
Josh Schaefer.
I'm actually up about 20%.
Josh Schaefer from Yahoo Finance reports GameStop's roaring kitty surge doesn't mean meme stock rally has legs. That is some good reporting right there, dude. No shit, man. Good changed. Job. Good job.
You've smashed it.
What'd they pay for that app? For that fucking
it's
article.
Still a shit company with no revenue. So.
Wow. It's amazing. Amazing. The fundamentals still aren't there. Yeah, no shit, dude.
Wow. They really, yeah. Well done, champion.
Well done. Man.
It's like that that Australian joke. For some reason, I've got that Australian joke in my head where it's just like, what people say versus what they mean. And there's like a variety of ones in different countries, like different nationalities. And the Australian one is how you going, champ? You are about to die. It's like, oh, what a brilliant turn of phrase.
Incredible. Yep. So I don't know.
Mel's frowning. He's like, I call all my friends champ.
I don't think I've heard anyone call anyone champ since the fucking 90s.
Champ. The other one has got a style is chief.
Hey, champ.
Chief used to be like huge in the 90s. Chief. What's up, chief?
Oh, I forgot about chief.
What's up, chief? Yeah, that one's no bueno.
Did you say you've read about chief?
No. I forgot about chief.
I thought you were like, no, man, I've. So young, I had to read about
Schultz,
it.
Schultz has got a book. He's blowing dust off it.
The 90s.
The 90s.
Oh, man. We remember those. Roaring Kitty's back. GME's back.
By next week, I'm sure this will be back down to 17 bucks.
Back down to nothing.
It doesn't have to stay high. It just has to peak, right? Then you sell it all. And you get
I think that's what stung us as validators several times in the last few bull cycles.
Yeah, get whole diamond fisting that shitcoin into dust.
We're supposed to be we're supposed to be the ones abusing other people as the exit liquidity, but instead, in a cruel twist of fate. It turns out, I was thinking about this in this. This paper that I've is interminably at the draft stage. At one point, I had to like lay out the usual kind of agents in the system for a blockchain, and it's got like foundation, core dev team, validators or node operators, stakers or holders, blah blah blah. Anyway, and as soon as you lay it out like that, you're like, oh, it's just like liquidity, isn't it? She's like, who is getting rugged? It's a pyramid. And then when you kind of organize it by number of people in that entity class, you know, foundation, developer team, validators, it is literally a pyramid. And you're like, not only is the pyramid a pyramid scheme, but it is actually also as an organizational dynamic chart, a pyramid scheme, just all of it.
Yeah.
You're 100%. Don't say those things out loud.
You're using the outside voice to say the inside thoughts. Oh dear.
Okay.
The filter broke.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah. I noticed on last week's show notes, I don't think we got to it, but there's this whole thing about there's going to be like new UK regulation. It's like, why the fuck would anybody care about any new UK regulation when there's about to be a change in government?
Is it going to be a change in government?
Oh, yeah. Oh. I think.
When's that coming? Is there a vote coming?
So in the UK, we historically don't have like fixed term parliaments. They just, a government realizes it can't govern anymore and it calls a general election. That's historically how it works. And then about 10 years ago.
Don't make me sorry I asked this question.
15 years ago, they introduced a fixed term parliaments bill, which meant you had to have a fixed term. But then since then, we've had 6 elections. So obviously the Fixed Term Parliaments Act is very real and we should believe that that's when elections will happen. In practice, nothing has changed, right? Basically the country is physically falling apart. Everything's fucked. Everybody's on strike. The entire thing, they can't go on any longer. It's just a complete, everybody's just placing bets on when it's going to happen. It's got to happen.
Speaking of the British government, great British movie come out recently, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
What that?
Quite a good flick. Sorry?
What this?
Yeah, it's a film.
The film?
Yeah, good ratings. Henry Cavill, the lead man, Gus March Phillips.
All right.
You would know the story, the fray from the World War II.
Is it about the formation? The U-boats? Is it the formation of the SOE?
You're gonna, special operations executive.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, I would know a little bit about it, probably.
With James Bond in there.
Of course, Ian Fleming, yeah. So have you seen it was on the BBC, but it had a pretty good production budget. And it's actually like pretty good. If you enjoyed that, you should probably watch SAS Rogue Heroes.
Is that like some sort of documentary?
It's it's a drama. It's a drama about the people that kind of set up the SAS.
Hard pass.
It's basically just like there are a bunch of guys just driving around the desert, fucking up stuff that the Germans had in North Africa, just kind of, you know, way out in the deep desert in Land Rovers. And people were like, this seems like the long range desert expeditionary group. And then some people were like, what if we got you guys to jump out of planes? What about that? It's obviously like lightly, there's like a lot of, what's it called? There's a lot of, print the myth, print the legend, don't necessarily print the real thing, but it's a fun series. You get to see a lot of stuff kind of blown up. There's a lot of, if you like a film like the one you've just described, I'm almost like to say like 80-90% certainty, you probably want to see a bunch of very socially maladjusted British people stabbing German sentries in the middle of the night in North Africa, going, oh, bloody hell. Oh, this one's a bleeder. That probably sounds like the sort of thing that you'd enjoy. So SAS Rogue Heroes, you should watch it.
I'll put it on the list. There was another one on Netflix of similar vein to this as well. I can't remember what it was called.
Any other blockchain news you want to talk about?
Trying to bring up the AA DAO thing, but I was actually just going to ask, does anyone know what the fuck is the deal with this AA DAO thing? I feel like Rama's got like a bit bent out of shape about the AA DAO. Seems to always
really?
Be a lot
you
of
think?
News about the AA DAO.
Is that true, Rama? Rama like, bent out of shape on AA DAO? That's crazy.
I was trying to read like this block of text and it just seemed like a fucking bent out of shape rant.
He's typing with his fists.
he's typing with a machine gun.
I'm led to believe that fighting around the world is the Australian way, no?
That's so funny.
Like on a little tugboat?
Yeah, that's the one. Come on, Tugger.
So can anyone explain that to me? Because I've read it 3 times. I still don't get it.
So I don't know specifically what he's done, but so there's going to be an oversight. So there's currently an oversight committee for the AA DAO. if I remember correctly, there's two members right now, and they want to elect a third. And the third is divided amongst a member of SG1, someone who is kind of outside of crypto. And
who is it from SG1? Is it Tosh or is it
Clyde?
Oh, there's more than two people in SG1.
But there's a third?
Yeah. I think there's several more now. And someone called Cosmos Nanny. Name is Grace, I believe. And so the request was everyone should vote abstain on the people you don't want and yes on the people you do. It goes without saying that SG1 voted yes on themselves. But there's also a lot of drama around validators having just voted yes on all of them or no on all of them or abstain on all of them. So right now, Clyde is winning because SG1 is like 7% of the Cosmos Hub vote.
Why abstain and not no?
Is this a... And there's one winner for this, right? Is that what it is? It's not like two
or three. So it's three proposals, yeah. So instead of implementing like a radio button, they have to vote separately on each one.
Instead of just implementing a DAO structure where you can actually do a multi-select or a single select, we're in this situation.
That'd be wild. Crazy.
That's fucking crazy.
Let's use this
antiquated governance process.
I also love the fact that it's a blockchain, right? There's no governance structure. They can do whatever they want from a blank slate. And they're like, yeah, let's re-implement first past the post, the objectively, statistically, mathematically proven, socially dynamics proven, sub-optimal voting strategy. They could just and then they're like, oh, and also let's let validators vote, therefore invalidating the whole purpose of the procedure, because you're basically just saying, yes, let's just have the ruling class elect themselves.
So I guess they're just going to count yeses, right? And then noes and abstains don't matter. Is that what the idea is here?
So originally it wasn't really planned for how they would handle it. There's instructions to vote abstain and no.
Oh, I see.
I don't remember if no provides anything. But part of the debate is at this point that people aren't following directions, right?
Yeah.
Really, if everyone votes yes on someone, then they should just not count those votes. Or if someone votes no on everything, or if someone's abstain on everything. But
yeah. Well, Matt Brown is by far has the most number of no votes. Because Grace has a few no votes and Clyde has very little, but looks like Clyde Carver is leading the race at this point.
So I think there's an issue in which he's also like part of AADAO. So it'll be like him
perfect
overseeing himself, if I remember correctly. There's something fun about that somewhere.
This is one of those things where validators should not vote. 100%. They should be 100% abstain. This should be 100% individual while it's voting.
I mean, should validators even get to vote?
I mean, this is a I'm just talking, there's layers of shit. This shit cake has layers. I'm just saying at this layer right here.
Welcome to the layer cake, son.
This is the layer cake. But this one.
Back to episode one. There we are. Bam. Stop the podcast. We can go home, lads.
You know, I'm a big proponent of Cosmos governance, and this is a good example of that. But anyway.
I think you're on record, Serp, as saying several times.
I think I am.
What we need is more Cosmos governance.
I think we should burn all these DAOs down and let's just do this for validators.
Straight
these
back,
elected officials on-chain, just straight aside.
On-chain voting, using XGov like totally our forefathers did, scrabbling in the dirt like animals.
We should put these.
We should also make sure to not improve XGov because then it would no longer be completely unbiased. That would cause issues. So it has to stay as the original constitution wrote it.
I mean, luckily for you, Schulze, like in America, you guys can amend the constitution because it's written in words which people can read and attempt to interpret and understand. Luckily for us, in the Cosmos, XGov is written using the Cosmos SDK, which nobody understands. And so nobody even knows. I mean, hypothetically, we don't even know why it's still running. It's been theorized that the original programmers did understand these runes that they were bashing in to what they're supposed to have told their spirit visions to a mystic gopher, and it just fucking compiled some code for them, and that's how it works. And unfortunately, you know, in the great interchain wars, many of the developers were lost, and we wait for a day when they'll come back.
The interchain wars.
We wait for a day when they will come back to us at the, you know, in a cavalcade of angels from on high with the chosen one, Jay, at their head, you know, to restore XGov to the people.
At which point the runes will once again glow a holy color.
Exactly, that's the one. A holy color or holy shit, who knows?
Is it going to be like a poppy day for Cosmos or what?
Yeah, or you could just like fucking use Dowdow. I mean, that's the other solution, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Wow. Yeah, what are you going to do? You could use this broken ass piece of shit here that nobody fucking understands, nobody maintains, nobody does shit to. Or, but you know, it's kind of.
Let's just ignore this governance thing.
I mean, or plot twist, option three, you could just ignore the whole Cosmos thing.
You know, this makes me think we should probably have holidays in Cosmos where for 24 hours, the blockchain just stops.
They all stop.
And they all stop.
What, you'd be like,
and then everyone can take the day off.
Well, like Labor Day or something, which is like, let's just bring them all down, boys.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. And then when people trade, they'll realize that all those trades are happening on those Postgres servers.
You should do that on relayers. Relayers should just stop for one day. Like all relayers stop and they go, what the fuck happened? Yeah, bitches. That's what happens. The Tuesday before Thanksgiving. Union.
I was gonna say
before Thanksgiving US. Just shut it all down for one day. One day. Everything stops. All blockchains stop. We just shut it down.
I can feel my beard growing bigger. Must crush capitalism. No, wait. That would be Lenin. Marx was German. Why did I do the Lenin voice from the Simpsons?
Null can't get slashed on Kujira, whatever the fuck it is.
Fucking Kujira.
Have you refunded your slashies yet? What people you took a slash on?
There is still not a fucking archive note.
There's no archive note. Dude.
I think this fucking archive now is going back.
I would love to.
You're at a three-episode ban of talking about a Kujira archive node.
I just don't have an archive
two topics now. One, Kujira archive node. Number two, Aptos VFN disk usage. Both those three-episode ban.
Hey, you know, if the if the DEXs were like well constructed, like a you know, stock exchange, you could actually have so the way the stock exchange work, right, is like the you know, your broker actually aggregates sales before they execute them on the stock exchange. So before settlement, they actually do all their buys and sells internally and then settle on the exchange later. You could just do it like that, right? So you can go down for a day and just settle it later.
Haven't you just literally described every shit chain L2 that just aggregates back up to Ethereum?
Yeah, but they still have to be upright. You just do it in Cassandra.
No, they don't. Well, they don't have to. They don't have to be up. They just have to produce Merkle roots or whatever the fuck it is they do, and then write them to Ethereum at some point.
Boo.
Yeah, it's just the better way of thinking about it is that Ethereum is the sewer at the bottom, and people poop their trades into an L2, and gradually it works its way through the plumbing. And the problem is, you don't know. Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
Dude, the sewer doesn't have a gas fee of $75.
Well, it's because of the tragedy.
Imagine this guy down there with his shovel who's like, oh, I ain't working unless you give me that $75.
You guys need to check. It does cost $75, more than $75 to clean up that fatberg when it all gets out of control, right?
Every block.
Actually, it is a good analogy. Because you know when Secret was slowing down and halting? That's like when people discover a fatberg in the sewers, isn't it? It's just like, it's just too clogged with this calcium deposit and baby diapers.
I don't even want to Google fatberg. I'm just concerned what I'm going to find here.
Putting it in the but you know when they tell you don't pour fat down the sink?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
The fat
finds the nappies that people also shouldn't have put in the sewer.
When people tell me not to pour fat down the sink, I consider that a challenge.
There's a fatberg under your house. And when they're like, where's the blockage in this sewer network? They're going to go to the bottom of your house and there's just going to be
fat. I replaced the sewer on my house personally and there was no fatberg in there anywhere.
You replaced the sewer in your house, under your house?
well, it wasn't technically under my house, but it was adjacent my house. Yeah.
Adjacent your house, but
yeah.
What?
In Australia, they just put a pipe out the side of the house and just dump it in the field. There's no
old houses. Yeah. They just come out the side.
There's no mains or anything else.
He just into the neighbor's yard.
There's a fence. He dumps it. There's a fence.
I love the way that somebody's added to the show notes, Fatberg, and they spelt it.
I did.
Like Pittsburgh.
Fucking guilty shit over here.
American city in Fatberg. Oh my God. Is there an American city called Fatberg? I'm going to Google.
There should be. Well, I put a trademark on it just before Oni registers it as a trademark.
That's right.
Coming soon, the Fatberg.
Bootstrap Fatberg. Yeah, exactly. Just want to control it.
God, there's literally... I don't read the news anymore because I find it aggravating. And I tried to Google Fatberg as it was spelled in the thing, and it's instead just brought up the news. And in the UK national news at the moment, there is a Fatberg in the news because a Fatberg the size of 3 double-decker buses has been cleared from an East London sewer.
There you go. Oh, there's no H. That's fucking...
Oh, hey, did you guys know that XRP is now going to be the savior of Evmos?
Why is that?
I did see that. So what exactly is that? I couldn't understand exactly what was going on.
Oh, I don't know. It was a partnership announcement. Fuck knows what that means.
But what does that? Yeah, what does that mean though? Like,
I don't know.
Tying their legs together. XRP. Like, why would XRP pick Chihuahua?
I think that your
Sorry. That's a fucking sorry, Chihuahua and Evmos team. I insulted both of them at the same time.
You didn't get the connection. It was related to adjacent conversation. You didn't get it. That's all right.
So the biggest Fatberg discovered in a London sewer was put on display as a museum exhibit at the Museum of London.
That does not sound true.
Wait, the Museum of London can exhibit local things? I thought it had to be taken from Indigenous people.
That's the British Museum.
Okay.
The Museum of London is the City of London as well.
I wasn't concentrating.
Not even Greater London, but it's the City of London. I'm pretty certain, anyway. So I think it's in the Docklands. Okay.
I had a lapse of concentration there for a second. Did you just tell me that they're displaying the Fatberg of size 3 double-decker buses?
No, it's even bigger than that. The 3 double-decker buses is just the news at the moment. The Fatberg that was displayed was 250 meters long and 130 tons.
Oh, my God.
How exactly did they transport that from underground?
I don't know. They have to break it up into chunks to get it out of the sewer.
Paste it together? Like,
just lick it.
Out of a 1.5 meter sewer manhole.
There's actually a long article about the historical significance, contextualizing it within the architectural space of London, and also why it is on display and how members of the public are protected from what is toxic waste, on the Museum of London's website, which you can read now on their blog.
Historical turds mixed up in that Fatberg, like bit of Churchill turd, bit of Fleming turd.
It was on display in 2018.
Some from the Queen.
It was on display in 2018, and then after its public display was added to the museum's permanent collection.
The Queen.
The last known DNA remnants of the Queen are in that Fatberg.
On display. Did you say 250 meters?
PFC's here. Hey, buddy.
250. Yeah, I invited him. 250 meters? That's like, is that even, it's larger than the whole museum. Is that the whole back half, just one giant, one log?
Sure, they don't just have a piece of it, like a intersection.
You don't really need the whole thing, right?
A slice.
Now I'm Googling this.
I'm saying is next time you go to London, you should check if it's still on display. Maybe go find out for yourself, because it seems to be a lot of interest in it. I'm not the curator of the Museum of London. I can't answer these questions for you.
Okay, we'll be there next month, so I'll give you some dates.